while we were in the midst of planning our disposal process and getting ready to construct a facility to carry that plan out, 9/11 occurred. Not only did we start looking at ways to accelerate the disposal process, but we also gained a new mission here, and that was soldiers who were brought here to help secure the stockpile.
Obviously, your job as a spokeswoman was to help maybe alleviate fears tied to that, but it had to be an uneasy time where you probably were yielding a lot of calls.
We did get a lot of calls from people, but you know, most of the people who had fears about the security of the stockpile here once the initial group of soldiers was here, the people who had the fears or made a big deal out of it really didn't live here in the area. Our neighbors here seemed to feel very sure that everything possible was being done to take care of the stockpile. We didn't get much in the way of fear from them, but from outside the area, we sure did.
Was there one point where you felt like the mindset was, okay, we have settled some fears, let's get back on the task at hand?
Right. Once we made sure that the stockpile was secured and had assured our neighbors and also our elected officials that we had taken all the measures we needed to take to secure the stored stockpile, then we began to focus again on developing a speedy way to safely eliminate the stockpile. And we did that. We developed a neutralization process, which was pretty simple and pretty hands-on, but we developed this process. What we ran into was that it did create waste. There were concerns about how we would dispose of that waste. We worked with a number of communities, some of them unsuccessfully, until we began to work with a community in Texas near a company called Veolia. We worked with them and with the states between here and Port Arthur, Texas, to make sure that we could safely transport this waste product to Port Arthur and let them dispose of it. And they did so successfully, and we never had a single incident in sending all that waste over the roads.
Can we talk about the exhibit, Wabash Valley Visions and Voices? I'd assume that there's a lot of photos taken of what could be taken of some of this material in that time.
The Visions and Voices project is something that we collaborated on with ISU students who were developing it. And it's gone much further than what we expected. We thought we would be able to work with them to get a little web page up there that would provide some basic historical information. But they took it quite a bit further, and they posted a lot of pictures and a lot of diagrams and a lot of written information, too. So there's a lot of information out there now. We were worried that when we went away, while we're disposing of a lot of paper, I mean, you can't believe how much paper is here since 1941, and we've been shredding everything that did not need to be maintained for the archive or for some other kind of reason. We were afraid that people would just forget we were here and all those things would be lost. And now they're there for posterity on the Internet. We're just thrilled with that.
Talk about the deactivation ceremony. Probably somewhat of an emotional time for some people.
Yeah, the mood was somber. People were stricken by the fact that this really is the end. For me, it was bittersweet. I haven't been here as long as some people. I've been here 17 years. There are people who've been here almost 40 years, and this is their whole working life. So as you can imagine, even though they're very proud of the fact that they completed the mission, many missions that they were given over the years, they were also saddened to see it all come to an end.